Understanding a Dog's Nature. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capo, California, with Absolute Philosopher. Understanding a Dog's Nature. A dog is a very special creature. But a dog is an animal. And every animal, you might say on the face of the earth, but every animal, every lizard, every snake, every cow, every animal in the world is here for us to enjoy and for us to communicate with and as, and for us to participate in a wonderful relationship. Understanding a dog is a wonderful step in this direction, and it sort of opens us up to a whole new avenue of realization of the excitement of life. When you understand a dog, what you're doing is you're understanding part of yourself. You look at the dog and the dog wags its tail and you think, oh, how wonderful. The dog likes me. Well, you like the dog. That's why the dog is wagging its tail. You are communicating with that dog that you like it. You look at the dog and you reach down and you tentatively put your hand, the back of your hand, toward its mouth with the idea that let's be friends. And the dog thinks to itself, this person is not very sure of themselves. This person is not very self-confident, so I'll be self-confident for them. And I'll just wag my tail more and more and more. And I will just show them by licking with my tongue on the back of their hand and saying, hi, guy, how are you? And then the dog says, as I do this, the man's going to think that we're good friends. And we are. And we're good friends to the degree that the man thinks that we're good friends. Now the dog can be a bonding dog, a dog that bonds to you, feels that you are its mother, its father, its boss, its everything, and that is so. But that is how you want it to be. You need to have someone to love. You need to have someone to caress, someone to touch, someone to pet, someone to feel good about. And hey, that's okay. That's very wonderful. But you need to have that. And so you create a dog. Now some people create lizards, turtles, fish, according to what their parents will let them have. Children have different creatures. And they have a bonding relationship with that creature. And that creature does not violate their bonding relationship to the degree that they have it. Now, when we understand our dog, what we are really doing is we are understanding ourselves. And our nature is to be loving, sharing, outgiving, demonstrative love, demonstrating love by touching and petting and doing nice things. And we always want to go the next step, which is the fatal step. And the fatal step of a relationship is that we attempt to have the dog be something which it is not. And it does not know how to act in that relationship, because it acts only as we think it should act. It acts only as we think that it should be. Now, we adopt a dog. We adopt a dog and we bring a dog into our family, into our household, and the dog becomes a member of our family, and the dog becomes ipso facto human. Now, the moment we have allowed ourselves to allow a dog to be human, then the dog ceases to fulfill the purpose for which it exists. The purpose for which a dog exists is to be a reflection of our emotions, of our attitudes, of our desires, of our love. The dog is not a reflection of its own. If a dog were to go back to the reflection of its own, it would be a member of a pack. It'd be a member of a pack where it belongs either as the leader or as a follower. And in every pack, there's only one leader. And anybody who tries to act like a leader is kicked out. So, we are not interested in having a dog be a leader in our pack. We don't want a dog to pull us around as we take it for a walk. We don't want a dog to make demands upon us and make us feel that we are not doing a good job of taking care of our responsibility and our relationship. But sometimes when we think of a dog as a human being or as human, then what we do, when we feel sorry for not doing what we'd like to for the dog, we think the dog is unhappy for us not doing what we'd like to. The dog doesn't know what we're going to do. The dog knows what we're going to do when we tell him or when we think it, but he doesn't know what we're going to do. When you tell a dog, "Now you just stay right here, I'll be back after work tonight, we'll take a walk and have a nice day." And the dog learns to realize that it can just settle down into its bed or into a relaxed state and just walk around and have a drink of water and maybe play a little bit with the toys in the yard, but it is not concerned about anything. And when you come home from work and you play with it, he thinks that's a great time of day. It's a great time of day. It's not that he has been left alone and abandoned and nobody to play with and nothing to do. He doesn't need anything to do. He doesn't need anyone to play with. He doesn't need any of these things. We think he does. And understanding a dog can help us a great deal in having a happy, harmonious relationship with a dog. A happy, harmonious relationship with the dog is one where we are the absolute master. That's why we're called master. The dog's master. The dog's caretaker and stuff, whatever. So, when the dog has you as its master, then it doesn't mind doing anything that you want it to do. So, you leave the dog at home alone during the day, and the dog has food, the dog has water, the dog has a place to do his duty, the dog has a little place to get up and walk around if he wants to, or lay down if he wants to, and the dog will quietly go into low gear, he'll quietly go into introspection, and he'll lay in his bed and meditate. Now, a strange noise comes to the door or comes to the house, the dog will awaken. And if the dog is taught to bark, he'll bark. And if the dog is taught not to bark, he will not bark. He will not be concerned about the noises outside of the house. His only world is where he is inside the house until his master comes home, and then they go outside the house together. And again, the master is in charge outside of the house. The master determines whether there's any boogeymen outside there or not, whether there's any troubles that they have to look at outside there. Because the master always keeps the dog under control. The dog expects that the master is going to want him to do whatever he wants him to do. And it is whatever the master wants to do that is done. And the dog does not care about whether it can run free or whether it can chase after things or a dog chases a cat. A dog doesn't chase a cat. We teach a dog to chase a cat. A dog doesn't chase after animals. We teach them to do this. A dog is raised in a house, in a family, and it does not have to forage for food, and it does not have to beg for things because it is taken care of. We have to understand the dog. And when we understand the dog, we understand ourselves just a little better too. Because then, as we understand this, we understand that the dog is here for our pleasure. The dog is here for our enjoyment. And while it's true, we'd like to have the dog at work with us, we'd like to have the dog with us wherever we go, into the different stores and the restaurants and things like that. And in Europe, they do allow dogs in restaurants, but not all restaurants, but most of them. But the point is, we know the limitations of the world in which we live that they have put upon the presence of animals, and so we abide by that, because it's a rule. And the dog is just not allowed in a restaurant here in the United States, and we don't do that. And a dog is just not allowed to go places by the rules of certain things, and so we cooperate with those rules. And sometimes we have to leave the dog in the car overnight as we are in a motel, but we leave the window open. We leave the dog have proper air and happiness. And if he were in his kennel, he'd be the same way. And a dog doesn't have to go potty at its will. It goes potty when you take it potty, when you take it to go to the bathroom. The dog is totally your experience. It's not that you don't care about it. It's not that you don't love the bejabbers out of the dog. It's not that the dog doesn't kiss you to pieces and just wish you to say to you, you're the greatest master in the whole world. You just are so super. And there are a lot of other masters that are a lot better than you are, because they understand dogs better than you do. But this dog doesn't know that there's a better master in the whole world than you. And you don't disillusion him, because you disillusion a dog when you cease being a master. Not a tyrannical master, but a definite master. And you tell the dog to sit, he sits. When you tell the dog to come, he comes. When you tell a dog to stay, he stays. When you tell a dog to, okay, I'm going to be gone for a little while, now you just relax and have a good time, and I'll be back shortly. And so you go away, and he doesn't bark. And when you come back, he doesn't bark. But when he sees you, he just wiggles that tail so hard that his whole rear end goes up and down and in and out, and he's just as happy as he can be, because his master is back. His alpha is back. And you are the alpha in the dog's life. You are the alpha in your dog's life. And your dog loves you to pieces. Understanding a dog is quite a challenge. Understanding a dog's nature, because in the first place we try to make it human. And a dog's nature is a pack nature. A dog's nature is an animal nature. And the more we love a dog for what it is, the happier we are, and the more exciting we are about everything we do. Nice, huh? Every dog I've ever had has been a dog. And lovable, wonderful, enjoyable, and they love my presence, and I love their presence. And we are just the greatest team. I am the Alpha, and he's the Omega. I am the Alpha, and I'm the leader, and he's the follower. And that's the way it always should be. Have a good day, and know that every moment you spend with your pet can be a moment of bliss when you remember who you are and who your pet is. Your pet is your pet that does what you require it to do. And you are the master that is in charge of your pet. I love you. I love you. I love you.